On ABC Radio,
this is The Big Fish
with Scott Levi.
And good morning. Time to drop anchor and relax and wait for a bite in this edition of The Big Fish. The crystal clear waters of Googong Reservoir in the ACT were renowned for giant trout as well as trophy cod and monster yellowbelly. First cast this episode of The Big Fish, Steve Samuels from the Monero Acclimatisation Society has an update on restoring Googong to its former glory when it comes to trophy trout. Stinkers all at sea, literally, in this episode of The Big Fish on a week-long fishing adventure at Swains Reef, far north Queensland. So goodness knows what tales from the deep he'll bring back next week for us on the program. But this week we'll revisit one of his great stories, a story about ferreting at Gilgandra that many of the locals loved and requested repeat performance and encore. So we'll bring that back to you for Stinker's segment this morning. And the Mid-North Coast scene covered with coal trenement. Some fantastic fish being caught at the moment off the rocks and the beaches and the estuaries of the Mid-North Coast. Alex Bellissimo is back with our land-based Sydney Harbour fishing tour as well. All coming up on The Big Fish. Last Saturday on The Big Fish, we heard about this attempt to return the giant trout of Googong for the ACT fly fishers and trout fishers to experience. It used to be one of the great trophy trout fisheries with huge brown trout of Goliath proportions. And Steve Samuels and the hard workers at Monero Acclimatisation Society have taken the first step towards it. Last Monday, they had a big tanker arrive, and inside it, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, Steve. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Scott. Certainly right. It was a really good little event. We had some excellent quality fish supplied by the hard-working guys at the Gade and Trout Hatchery. And, we stocked a significant number of 1 to 1.5 kilo, but some were even a little bit bigger, rainbow trout into Googong Dam. And hopefully this is the first step in the New South Wales trout strategy to bring dams like Googong back as good trout fisheries.
And just explain for those people who didn't get the reason behind it last week, why these big mature fish are being stocked rather than the usual fingerlings.
Well, Googong Dam has a very large population of redfin. And it's probably been over the last 10 to 12 years that we've noticed that even though we stock a significant number of rainbow trout fingerlings into Googong Dam every year, we're just not getting the return that sort of warrants. There are rainbow trout and some resident brown trout still in Googong, but you know, when you look at the numbers of trout that we stock each year, the trout fishing should be better than that. We're putting it down to the predation by the redfin. So, you know, most of the redfin there are probably 18 to 20 centimetres in length, and we're stocking little baby rainbow fingerlings that are maybe 5 or 6 centimetres, so they fit down the gob of a smaller redfin quite easily. And we've noticed over the years that when we stock these small fish, the water just tends to boil. The redfin soon wake up that there's lots of juvenile rainbows that are, you know, pretty silly. They've lived in a hatchery and they just get gobbled up, and we think that's the reason for there's no return. So what we've decided to do is, as part of the New South Wales trout strategy, is to develop a system where we can stock larger rainbow trout into redfin-infected waters in a hope to bring back the trout fishing. And this has been done quite successfully in Victoria. So the guys at the Gade and Trout Hatchery had some broodstock left over, some excess broodstock. So we decided, as just as a bit of an event, to see if we can, you know, get people back into trout fishing in the Googong, we'd bring some of these broodstock rainbow trout down 1 to 1.5 kilos. We'd stock them. And then, you know, in the coming years, hopefully we'll be able to stock fish that are approaching yearling size trout into Googong every year in much greater numbers. So it was just the toe in the water, so to speak, the first of a series of stockings. And we'll just have to monitor it now. And if we can get Googong back, that'll be great. If this doesn't work, then we really have to sit down and consider whether the water in Googong is trout suitable. My gut feeling is it's certainly trout suitable. We just need to get over the redfin.
They're absolute trophies. They're beautiful looking rainbows and all their spawning glory with that big slash of crimson war paint down the side. And something to look for just behind the eye for those people who want to try to catch one. Is that right?
Well, if people go out to Googong and they do catch a significant size rainbow trout, all they need to do is look behind the left eye of that rainbow trout and they will see either one or two little fluorescent red lines. But they stand out quite well, and that's the new tagging system that we've adopted up at Gaydon Trout Hatchery to identify the brood stock from Gaydon that are put into these lakes. So that will actually signify whether you've caught one of the ones that we've released recently or whether you've been lucky enough to catch a wild trout. So either one or two. Most of the fish we released yesterday had the two lines. There might be one or two that had one, but it stands out quite well and is behind the left eye of the fish.
We've got a photo of that. We'll put it up online at the Big Fish sites and people can see what they're looking for, but they won't miss them. They're beautiful, big, full-finned, great-looking rainbow trout, very fat and feisty, and they're a bit silly when they first go in, but they acclimatise pretty quickly, don't they?
Oh, they'll settle down pretty quickly. And for people who want to know, we put them in at the main boat ramp there at Googong, and that's where the car park is as well. So hopefully they'll hang around for a little while and people won't have to walk too far. They will spread out. But, people who like to go and catch trout should just keep an eye on Googong over the next couple of years. And our intent is to bring it back as a fishery. We're also doing similar things up at Oberon Dam. We want Oberon Dam to come back as a good trout fishery.
Oh, it's infested with the redfin.
Got there. That's right. We're doing exactly the same thing there. And we're also doing the same thing over at Cancoban Dam. Once again, Cancoban used to have a great reputation for big brown trout. The big brownies are still there, but the redfin got in the way. They interrupt our stocking policy. So, we'll be doing the same thing there. So it's a whole of the Snowy Mountains approach to try and bring trout fishing back to these once good waters. And we've all got our fingers crossed, Scott.
Well, you don't mind if the giant Murray cod and the golden perch yellow belly in these impoundments, which they share with the trout, eat a few of the trout, that's fine, but we don't like the redfin. and of course, they've got the diseases too.
Well, that's right, they've got the diseases. And the redfin are actually, because they're a schooling fish, they school and follow these smaller rainbow trout and gobble them up. We've got some very good science that says that from both Western Australia and Victoria, some good science has been done by the fisheries people there that state that when you start stocking fingerling trout, particularly rainbows, in water that's infected with redfin, your return is next to nothing after about 24 hours to maybe a week. So we're working on the science there. These bigger fish will be able to swim away. Sure, the odd one or two will get gobbled up by cod and golden perch. We're happy with that. That's not an issue. The thing that does annoy us, though, is then when we lose 90% of our stock to redfin.
All right, well, good luck with it. It's great to see them go in. Look for those two little red stripes behind the eye. We'll put a picture up that shows you exactly what you're looking for if you're a fisher person on Googong in the ACT. It's a beautiful body of water. It's very well protected. One of our great stalwarts of the Big Fish, the late, great Dr. Brian Snapper-Pratt, of course, fought so long and so hard to make that accessible for the people of the ACT and New South Wales as a fishery, and it's a fishery with no pollution. You're not allowed to have powered motors on there. You're not allowed to stay after dark, all sorts of things to protect that water quality. So what we share it with the fish, we share it with the everyone who turns on their tap in Canberra, really.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Brian would be sitting up there and wherever he is, he'd be rubbing his hands together and saying, well, that's the sort of fish I like to see in Googong.
For sure, mate. All right, great to talk to you, Steve Samuels. Thanks for telling us about this wonderful project. I hope it works in Oberon too, because that's was a great trout fishery. So disappointing that the redfin got in there and destroyed it. So maybe for our Sydney and Central West anglers who used to go there and maybe they'll be able to go there again if these mature fish take off. So great initiative. Thanks for telling us all about it, Steve Samuels.
No worries, Scott. And, yeah, we'll keep you informed. We'll certainly let people know as we progress along this road as to how it's going.
Yeah, it's the way to go, I think. Stock with yearling, stock with big fish, so they can't be eaten by the redfin, and then in turn they'll eat the redfin. Tight lines, Steve. Thanks for joining us on The Big Fish.
Okay, Scott, and tight lines to all of your listeners.
The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
I don't think anyone's written a song about googong. I've got something close, a song about the Google Eye fish, which I'm informed is the rock bass, a pan fish from the ponds and rivers of North America that's very good eating, the Google Eye fish. And, of course, you've got to look out for the two little red stripes behind the eyes of the stocked rainbow in googong. Look at their Google eyes and see if you can find those two little red lines, and let the Monero Acclimatization Society know down the track if you catch one. Good luck, and you can eat it if you want, but just let them know if you've caught one and see if they do respond to the stocking and can survive the ravenous red fin. This is J.D. Loudermilk with a song about fish. It's called the Google Eye Fish. Nothing to do with spending too much time on the search engine. It's the Big Fish.
Jump in me old Jeep wagon, bump it to the banks of the river, dig me a worm and a cricket squirm and a wade out into the water. Goodbye, Google Eye. Eat him up, a Google Eye, a Google Eye, a Google Eye. Eat him up, a Google Eye, a Google Eye, a Google Eye. Goodbye, Google Eye. Bait me a hook in the morning, I throw him out into the water, I make him swim with a dorsal fin, and come on to me, daughter. Oh, oh, goodbye, a Google Eye. I eat him up, a Google Eye, a Google Eye, a Google Eye. I eat him up, a Google Eye, a Google Eye, a Google Eye.
Another one from Dogfish Dave's record collection. Goodbye, Google Eye, from J.D. Loudermilk. It's the Big Fish, and I don't know if they're catching any Google Eyes, which are apparently a rock bass, a panfish that are very good eating from North America, but they are catching some cracking drummer, some huge brim, some bragging size mulloway, some monster mulloway on the Maclay. And all sorts of good fish on the mid-north coast. Our man on the coast, Cole Treneman, joins us next with everything you need to know about catching a feed of fish, and most of it land-based too, most of it accessible. And coming up also, land-based Sydney Harbour fishing tour continues with Alex Bellissimo. We're in North Harbour and a brilliant spot, a beautiful accessible sandbank full of nippers and worms and trophy-sized whiting. We'll share that secret spot with you a little later on The Big Fish.
The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
Our man on the mid-north coast, Cole Trenneman, good morning.
Good morning, Scotty. How are we, mate?
I'm very well. Look, I don't know where the mid-north coast starts. I guess Whoopee to Seal Rocks?
Yeah, Bulla Dealer's about the end of it. Yeah. Old Karua.
Karua? Oh, now you're stretching it.
Yeah. Newcastle.
You're starting to eat into stinkers territory, but it is a beaut area. It is a really good area. The Camden Haven, the Hastings, the Macleay, those beautiful big rivers full of brim and bass and jewfish, and I believe the Mulloway have really been on in the Macleay. My son-in-law, Jason Princehorn, caught a monster, sent me a photo the other day, always likes to make me drool, and they got a beautiful fish in the Macleay that was as big as him. He's not a big bloke, but, gee, it was a beautiful-looking bronzy, estuary, dewy. They're the fish of dreams, aren't they?
They are, mate. Look, it's been actually one of the better years we've had up along this way being a non-flood year too, as far as for Mulloway. I mean, the north wall and the south wall at Port Macquarie on the mighty Hastings there, it's been firing. They've been getting a lot of fish, especially on the lead up to the Moons. My little river down here, my little patch of paradise of the Camden Haven, like even the north wall of that, we've been getting quite a few I wouldn't call record breakers, but they've been around that, say 10 to 15 kilos.
Oh,
lovely fish. Yeah,
Have you heard anything from the mighty Manning?
There has been a few. Just down around the gantry and up a bit further from there, there's been a sneaky few lot that get down there and they'll fish the tides, the high tide, and they've been getting quite a few. I did believe there was a 32 or a 33 pulled out of there not long ago.
The Manning tends to produce bigger fish, doesn't it? I've heard of some really, really large fish over 30 kilos out of that system, so there must be a lot of food in there for them.
It's not only the size of the river too. Look at the Hawkesbury. How many big fish get pulled out of the Hawkesbury?
Oh, the Manning is monstrous down from Taree, isn't it? It's a huge estuary.
It's just a big. It's like a proper river delta down the ward towards the bottom. There's all these little creeks and rivers, creeks running everywhere, even down to Olbar. That's part of the Manning there as well, So it's got a great big outfeed there everywhere. But apparently there's been a few kingies as well been along the wall there. A lot of the boys are now, you see the blokes that walk the wall there, they'll have their electric rod and they'll have their brim rod and then they'll have their dewy spinning rod and they'll also have a shorter one with a stick bait on for the kingies.
Best thing New South Wales Fisheries ever did to ban those floating traps. They've really come back since then, haven't they?
They have, mate. I remember Starlo talking about it when I was living in Sydney. And I said to the wife, I'll go fishing. And I went over the Spit Bridge and I used to get there really early in the morning to get live squid. And I remember the first day I caught five and there were five up around that 70, 75 centimetre mark. And I'd looked at her and she said, what are you going to do with all those fish? And I said, I have no idea.
Well, there's a much stricter limit these days, isn't there?
Well, that's right. But back in the day, it was five, and I never, ever did keep five again. I only ones or twos, and that was plenty for me.
They're big fish, and boy, they fight. They're fantastic. I hear the brim have been outstanding around Southwest Rocks, too. They've really been catching some beauties. And it was funny, I spoke to one rock fisher there who was geared up for heavier stuff and just couldn't stop catching big stonker brim up to like 40-plus centimetres.
As my friend calls them. He doesn't like brim. He calls them river carp. Or if they're on the rocks, they're ocean carp. You can't win with him. You'd be fishing for drummer and he'd be pulling brim and he'd go, oh, bloody ocean carp.
I hear that you banged the drummer the other day.
Well, I did. I'm not gonna bang my own drum, but yes, we do. Boom, boom, get the pun.
But I
took a mate of mine with me and we walked into the spot and there was a friend of mine already fishing there. And he had eight, and I said, how you going there, mate? He goes, pretty good. He said he banged his next two, whack, whack, really quick. And then he left, and he said the bloke before him took seven out, and he got his ten, and we got. I stopped at ten between me and the mate and I, because I said, look, that's plenty of feed. We had a big wheel on a camp, and so he fed the camp while we were there and still had something to put in the freezer.
Just magic. I think you might have been benefiting from their burly a bit.
A lot, not a bit, a lot. But it was really strange for this place to for three people to walk in or four people to walk in and still walk out with that amount of fish. It's just one of those spots that obviously that you look for your washout areas, and this place, just one of those places that was washed out at the time and went, oh, that looks good, and the fish were sitting in there.
This is for people who really know what they're doing, and even then you can go west. So we must say rock fishing, particularly for drummer, is very exciting, but can be very dangerous for the uninitiated. So please don't go if you don't know.
That's one of my main things. Like, you know, never fish alone. Never fish alone. Never fish after dark if you're alone. Always have a friend with you and always watch your sea conditions, mate. I mean, even on the flattest day, you can get knocked over by waves. So, yeah, please, people, just be really careful. Wear your PFDs. Take your PFDs with you. Yeah.
That's the best way
to do it.
What were you catching the big drummer on?
Would you believe it was peeled prawns?
Cooked ones?
No, green ones. We just walked in there because the mate wanted to get a few sea carp, as he said.
A few brim
for the neighbour. And we walked in there and I said, oh, this looks good enough for a pig. And I looked over and as you come over the top of my spot, you can look down into it. And there's my mate standing there and there's a pool of red. And I went, crikey, he's got a few. And I get down there and he had eight. And he said, oh, the blood was from the buck before as well. So when he left, we got a few buckets of water and just cleaned the pool out, you know, just give it a flush so we could put our fish in there. And yeah, when we walked out, we actually flushed the pool with more water so that it didn't leave the blood in there. We sort of clean up the mess behind you.
It's interesting. I've got a fascinating story from Canada about that. When the people lived on the Fraser River and the mighty salmon run sustained them for the whole year, their whole lives revolved around these salmon, and they brought the railway through and they blasted the gorge and they filled it in, and all the First Nations people said, we'll all die. And the railway people said, what are you talking about? Because they didn't understand the cycle of the salmon and how they had to look after the environment. And the only thing that kept them alive through the next season before they put a sluice in for the salmon to run up over the blockage was the blood in the rock pools. The congealed blood through centuries of catching these fish and cleaning them and bleeding them in the rock pools. It was so thick that they could chip it out of the pools and boil it and get some sustenance, get some protein out of that.
Well, I pick a pool closer to the water so that, you know, and I put them in a bag as well so that they won't wash away. And I've always bled my fish and because it tastes a lot better. And I've always dispatched the insides before I leave.
Yeah, that's the way. You give it all back to nature and leave nothing but wet footprints and take your bag. And your bag is 10, isn't it?
Yeah, for drummer it is 10 per person, yes, but we only took 10 between us because they were nice fish. They were around at 2.5 kilo and we didn't want to be too greedy. We wanted to leave a few for next time.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like the fishing is really good on the Mid-North Coast.
One before you go, the water has been unseasonably warm. We've had 21 and 22 degree water up here for a very long time, which is most unseasonal, like it's almost August. And the other week, I had a few blokes come into the shop and buy some live worms off me. And I said, oh, yeah, where are you going? What are you up to? He said, oh, we're just going down next to the light. I said, why? And he said, well, we're just having a bit of a play around there the other day with some prawns, and we pulled a couple of nice white, and I said, whiting? He goes, yeah, and he showed me a photo, and these whiting were 43 to 45 centimetres long.
Bonefish.
Obviously. And they went back down there again, and they come back, and they showed me the fish that they caught over an hour and a half, and they were between 40 and 45 centimetres, and they had 9 of them.
Fantastic.
So that's how weird our weather is here at the moment.
The big winter whiting. The big summer whiting are on in the winter. Anyway, Trenno, it sounds like there's some great land-based fishing for all. We haven't even... You know, and these are all fish caught, apart from that big dewey I spoke about in the Maclay from the bank. So there you go.
That's exactly right, mate. Yeah, you don't need a boat, don't need a flash boat. But yeah, when you can get out, there's plenty of snapper and kingies and all trag and all that sort of lovely stuff to go to.
All right, the mighty Mid-North Coast is firing. Great to catch up with you again, Cole Trenneman. Thanks for joining us on The Big Fish.
No worries, mate. We'll do again.
Our man on the Mid-North Coast. Gee, it sounds good. Some good fishing. Stinker's out at Swain's Reef, and we don't know where he are, like Clancy of the Overflow, somewhere out at sea. But we'll bring you one of his classic stories up next on The Big Fish.
Tune in before the rising of the sun with your mate. Levi on your weekend radio. Where they're biting, how they catch them.
It's on the Big Fish Show.
Tight lines.
This is the Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
And a little bit like Clancy of the Overflow, Stinker's gone to Queensland fishing and we don't know where he are. He's on a week-long trip out to the Great Barrier Reef with a group of mates on a charter boat. My goodness, they'll throw him over in the end if he doesn't behave. But we'll get some good stories. We'll get some really good stories out of him. As we heard last week, he'd never been charter fishing before. And this was a big thing for him, a new thing. So I'm sure there'll be some good tales from the deep coming our way next Saturday when he gets home to Fingal Bay. But this one, by demand or by request, the folk at Gilgandra loved his story the other day about ferreting. And we'll go ferreting at Gilgandra with Stinker and a funny tale to tell when he was the sports master out there at Gilgandra High School.
Here comes Stinker with his fishing tips. Some hot advice for your fishing trip. Where to find them? What's the bait?
Are you catching any, mate?
I love a rabbit. A roast rabbit, a baked rabbit. Oh, gee. I'll tell you a story. There's a fantastic story about rabbits. When I first went to Gilgandra High School, that was my first appointment as a teacher way back in 1970. And I was 20-year-old and raring to go. You know how you're keen as mustard, your first job and everything else. And Gilgandra High School was pretty much in the bush. And the playing fields were rough, really, really rough. And there were rabbits running all over the place. And I had these class kids, and I said to these kids, oh, gee, I said, I love eating rabbits. And they're running all over the place, but how do you catch them? And one of the young blokes come up and he said, Mr. Clark, he said, I can catch rabbits. His name was Sticky. Norman, his name was.
But Sticky Norman.
Norman, he's Sticky, his nickname, because he had beehives. He used to have honey. So everyone called him Sticky. So anyway, Sticky says to me, look, he said, I can catch rabbits. He said, if you'd like, he said, you come and pick me up. And he said, I've got a couple of mates. If you can take me and a couple of mates, he said, we just got to go out of town a little bit where there's a heap of rabbits. He said, and I'll catch you some rabbits. And I said, oh, that sounds reasonable. He said, pick me up half past 8 a.m. and we'll go rabbiting at a place called Bidden, which is about 30K out of Gilgandra. Anyway, I said, no worries. You know, thanks, Dickie. That'll be great. So anyway, here I am. I've got my little car and I drive up Womboys Street, whatever it was. And there's Dickie and his two mates and they've got three boxes with them, like shoe boxes. Anyway, I pulled up. G'day, boys. Yeah, we're going rabbiting. Hey, g'day, Mr. Clark. So they all piled in and I opened up the boot and they put these three boxes in. I said, what have you got here, boys? They said, oh, that's our ferrets. Said, oh, okay. You've got to go rabbiting with ferrets, you see. You ever been rabbiting with ferrets?
No, I haven't. I've shot them with the 22.
Oh, it's a fascinating ferret. Anyway, so I got the three boys in the car and off we're heading and I got the ferrets in the boot. We go up and we crawl through a fence at Bidden and, oh, the rabbits there, they're running all over the joint. And so the idea, of course, is to let the ferret down the rabbit hole and then you put nets over all the exit. So when the rabbit sees that the ferret coming, he runs, he bolts, runs out of the burrow, the warren, and straight into the net and you've caught him. So it wasn't difficult to catch rabbits. So I had more rabbits than I needed. I only wanted one. Ended up with half a bag full of them. Anyway, I said, righto, boys, I've got to play cricket. You know, all back in the car, grab your rabbits. We're going home. And then anyway, out comes the rabbits. Now, one was called Frederick, I remember. The other was Harold, and another one was Marvin. That was the name of the ferrets. Anyway, it was Harold and Marvin come straight out of the holes and straight into their box. And the boys latched the box and they said, right, let's go. But the problem was Frederick wouldn't come out. Frederick was stuck down there and it was Sticky's ferret and it wouldn't come out. And I said, oh, look,
Sticky, we've got to go. I said, I've got to go and play cricket. He said, I'm not going without Frederick. I went, oh, gee, what are we going to do? Well, it's a stalemate. And then, but then, they're ingenious, these kids out in the bush. He said, look, there's an answer to this. He said, well, what we'll do, we'll cover up all the exits with paddy melons. Now, paddy melon is a round melon, a bit like a... It's like a big soccer ball.
Yeah.
Well, no. A big soft ball and a small, you know, it's that
yeah.
size. And it's big enough just to cover up the hole so that the rabbit and the ferret couldn't get out. So we collected all these paddy melons and we covered up all the exits. And he said, but you'll have to bring me back tomorrow. And this was Sunday. And I said, yeah, that'll be okay. He said, because the only way that Frederick will come out is if I play music. I said, you've got to be joking. He said, no. He said, he loves music. And I'm, yeah.
Frederick the
right
ferret.
He said, I should have brought my transistor with me today, but I forgot it. I said, oh, okay. So anyway, I took the boys home. Next day, Sunday morning, there I go around and pick up Sticky, and he's got his transistor, and out we go, out to Bidden again, and through the fence, and he pulled out one paddy melon. And he put the transistor on some rock and roll from 2DU and Dubbo, and the ferret comes straight out the hole into the box, and we went home.
That's a great story. That's a great story.
I had two fans.
Frederick the Ferret and Sticky.
Frederick the Ferret, yeah. Love rock and roll.
You know there's a band called the Ferrets, don't you?
Yes, I remember the Ferrets, yeah.
Was that the
you
song?
You wanted your daughter to bring a ferret, one of those ferrets, home, no. Dear, am I remember those blokes. They were a wild bunch.
I think they're a relative of the weasel.
Yeah, they are, and the stoat. You know,
great
the
stuff.
And the weasel. But I'm sure we've got a listening audience in Gilgander, and I'm sure there'd be a few listening this morning that'd know exactly what I'm talking about. But they were wonderful years out there, and even my fishing experiences out there along the Castlereagh River and out towards Warren and Gingin and Weir and I had a ball out.
Great talking again, Stinky. You never know where this is going to go. I love the way you tell stories. We'll catch you next time on The Big Fish, mate.
There is, Scott.
And here it is, the song that got Frederick the Ferret out of the hole at Gilgandra. It's The Big Fish.
Tonight, don't fall in love.
ABC Radio, it's The Big Fish with Scott Levi.
Watch how you say that, really. Don't fall in, love. It's The Big Fish. Good morning. Time to continue our Shanks Pony fishing tour of Sydney Harbour with Alex Bellissimo. And The Big Fish is all about accessible fishing, whether you've got mobility problems. And it's not about having the $400,000 boat and chasing the marlin. It's about a sport, a recreational pastime that everyone, regardless of what they've got or their resources, can take part in. It's a very egalitarian thing. It's a very sustainable thing. And of course, these fisher folk around Sydney Harbour are also the custodians in the environment. They've got to make sure that where they're fishing is clean and the habitat's protected, they don't rubbish the environment, and also that there's nothing coming into the environment that's destroying the fishing. Alex Bellissimo understands that, joins us this morning. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, Scotty, you're 100% right. So we're actually looking at the very western end of North Harbour. It is beautiful there. There's a big, big sand flat. It's probably about 2 footy fields at least, maybe more, 3 footy fields. It's a huge sand flat, and it's actually probably about 70 metres from 100 metres from Condamine Street, and there is a car park there across the road. You can cross the road. So this is for disabled people. You can cross the road and you can fish the high tide and cast off the actual wall itself.
So it's a tidal flat, Alex. You can wade out and fish for the fish that are coming in with the tide over those productive sand flats.
For people that are able to wade, exactly right, but you can actually stand off the walkway and catch whiting. How good is that? You can catch whiting, brim and flathead standing off the walkway on a big tide.
Yeah. As you know, Alex, this sort of shallow sand flat fishing is my favourite estuary fishing. Most productive spot for whiting particularly, who love those squirt worms that live in that environment. The big whiting come in. It's Australia's version of bone fishing, isn't it? You know, those big fish come in and they're very difficult to fool.
They've got whiting.
Great eyesight. You can sight fish them. I mean, this is wonderful fishing right at our doorstep. But tell us about some of the fun you've had on this giant sand flat.
I've actually stood along the walkway there on a big tide and just walked along the entire wall from basically from south to north. And there's more rocks on one end compared to the other. The actual southern end is shallower and it is exposed more so at low tide. You can actually wade the sandbank itself. And as the tide's rising itself, obviously you're getting forced back. But as it's actually going back down, you're walking towards the deeper edge. There's a marina out there as well. So you can actually fish virtually the drop-off itself, close enough to the drop-off. So you're in waist-deep water. On the southern side of the bank, you do get some ludric from there. And obviously, because there's weed beds and so forth, you get ludric, you get brim, you get flathead, you get flounder. I've got some beautiful flounder there as well.
Oh, lovely. A lot of people would be surprised at, and I do a lot of this sand flat fishing, so I know how many ludric feed on the sand flats, particularly when the worms are spawning, and they get in there, big ludric too, and they'll take a live squirt worm or blood worm.
They love
always.
Worms, don't they?
Yeah, they love them.
I've got some cracker ludric on worms. It's such good fun.
It is.
And you know something, on that, instead of them going downwards, you get a big fat ludric of a kilo in 3 or 4 foot of water, and it runs away from you, and they can really rip line off your alum.
They're amazing, aren't they?
When
you hook
4 pound line. So.
Oh, you're using, that's right, that's the secret too, 3 or 4 pound line. But when you hook one of those big, 40 centimetre ludric, they fight so much harder than the brim or the whiting or the flathead.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, they are really good fighters in that shallow water, and they've got that, but they're clean fighters, aren't they? They have that run out and then circle round, sort of like a trevally, you know. They really do. They're marvellous fish.
They're just full of stamina.
Yep.
And you know something? Have you noticed how light they are on the sandbank too?
Yes, they look almost grey.
The actual sand flat.
Yeah, almost grey in colour, aren't they? They're this bluey, a bluey colour, really, a bluey grey.
Yeah, like a bluey grey, and they're very, very light, and you can still see the lines on them, the actual vertical lines, but they become like a white grey, literally. It's amazing.
I have caught so many of those that it's not a fluke when fishing for whiting and brim on the sand flats.
Exactly
it's
not a fluke.
Definitely a proposition. So this spot sounds like a cracker spot, a very accessible spot.
I just want to mention too, so when you actually wade out as far as you can at low tide, you're casting towards Davis Marina and all the moorings, and you get nice pelagics in there. You get kings, you get tailor, you get salmon. You get them up. You actually get them smashing up there. It's quite prolific. You catch your squid out there as well. I had one time when I was out there, and the tailor and the salmon were going mental, and we were catching a few. This is quite a few years ago. We were catching a few. We were about wasted water. This bronze whaler shark was swimming around, and it was about 1.6 or 1.7 metres. And when they get to around that size, they're about 40 kilos at least. I tell you what, it was damn intimidating, right? And I was freaked out. This thing was only about 2 metres away from me. It didn't get any closer, but I was bloody freaking out.
Oh, that's great.
And my mates were freaking out.
Unique to be catching those pelagics in knee-deep, waist-deep water. And
I was in actually waist-deep water, and I didn't budge. I was going to hit it with over the butt of my rod if it got too close, you know. But I tell you what, mate, if it decided to accelerate and have a go at you. But the thing is, mate, I was pretty confident because of the size of it. It could sum up that I was, it's still a small shark. It's generally those bull sharks that are around the 2 meter plus that might attack you.
Yeah, right. But this one was more interested in the salmon and the tailor,
was it? It was definitely, it was focused.
And particularly the ones on the end of your line.
In actual fact, it was following some of our fishing, but funny enough, it didn't actually try and eat it. It was just following it around.
Oh, good.
Following a couple of salmon, but it didn't try and attempt to eat
them. What a great experience in Sydney Harbour. That's like something you'd experience up on the Cape York or something. What
exactly
I like about
right.
this spot, I'm just looking at it on Google Earth Maps now, is this is a great family spot, isn't it? Because if you're a keen fisher, get the incoming tide, catch the big whiting, don't get eaten by a shark, then the kids can kick a footy in North Harbour Reserve or play on the half-court basketball court, or if they're little kids, next to the car park near the rock wall where you're saying, yes. You've got a big covered playground, which is beautiful for the little kids. You've got public toilets. And then you've also got the North Harbour Walk, which takes you further around to 40 Baskets Beach and those other spots, which we'll get to in later editions of our walking fishing tour of Sydney Harbour. But this spot, to me, says family.
It says family. It's safe. It says family. Exactly right. And if you go there and fish the high tide, look, be mindful that there's no railings, okay? So if you've got small children, I would recommend that you have them on a leash. Right?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah,
because you don't want them to fall off the wall there.
No, it's quite high. But they can get down onto the sand. They can get down onto the sand.
Oh, look, you can get down on the sand there at low tide, right? And, you just got to be mindful that, to get off the wall there, it's relatively high. So you've got to be obviously very careful, especially when there's little kids involved. Preferably, as I said, I apologise for not having that back street. Preferably going into that back street behind Davis Marina and walk from there.
Gourlay Avenue.
I think it may be Gourlay.
That's the one, Gourlay Avenue. Yeah, it comes right down around the back to just a little avenue that comes round to the Davis Marina. And you can fish.
You go left.
Yep.
Then you go left and for about 800 metres, and then you can go and wade the flats there.
Yeah,
and stonking whiting. Go and fish there at night. It fishes really well there at night. It's beautiful place to fish there at night, and you get some cracking whiting. And I've caught big, big whiting. You hook up, and you see them splashing on the surface straight away, literally. You're hooking them in 25, 30 centimetres of water. It's incredible.
Just great fun. A big good spot to throw a few poppers, too, on light gear.
Exactly
if you want a popper or whiting or two.
You know, shads and... the flat shads.
They're good fun.
Xeric fish traps and so forth.
Good fun.
I'm just going into types of lures and so forth. But
sugar pens, all those sorts
sugar
of
pens
those popping or walking the dog lures. And we've had many a session on the Big Fish about those. If you're using the walk the dog ones, just wind, wind, flip, 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 flip with the wrist if it's a popping one.
Yep,
the secret is to keep it moving. And for the for the ones that put up spray with a cup face popper, you want to shoot the spray. You want to use heavier lines so you can keep a direct connection. And you want the spray to actually shoot out from the front of it about a foot or two and keep it moving, or the whiting won't take it. They'll only take it if you keep it moving. And, of course,
it's funny, isn't it?
If brim are about, so then you stop it.
You can actually stop it.
Mm-hmm.
With the brim lures, you can actually stop. And with the actual whiting lures, you've got to keep them moving. Some of the actual guides actually park their boat out around near Davis Marina. They get kings and they get, obviously, squid and their yakkers and so forth, and even slimies and so forth. And they do quite well. It's just that from a shore-based perspective, it's best to go and wade the sandbank. But just understand that it can get quite crowded, but that's the only downside.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too many there this time of year. You could try to target a few of the big winter whiting.
Exactly right. You know, and in Sydney Harbour produces massive whiting in winter. In fact, it's one of the best times to fish for those big whiting as well.
It is indeed. And obviously don't pump bait there. You can't collect bait in Sydney Harbour.
Yeah, it's going to make you cry. You'll see thousands of nipper holes.
Well, leave them. Just
ignore them.
Yeah. And look out for the stingrays too. Obviously don't stand on one, but keep an eye out for them. Put your Polaroids on, because if a stingray comes across those nipper beds and those sand flats, more than likely they can be followed by Ludric, giant brim and giant whiting.
Exactly right. Isn't it amazing?
It's a fabulous thing.
Scoffing around for food and stirring up the sand, you got actual whiting and brim very, very close by as they're stirring things up.
Great stuff. You know, so, where are we off to after this North Harbour Reserve?
Yeah, along the rocks up towards past Davis Marina, heading eastbound now. Fairlight, 40 Baskets Pool. And the actual rocks there. There's a nice little section there that produces some really good fishing there. And I love fishing there at night as well.
Tight lines, Alec Bellissimo. We'll catch you next time on The Big Fish with our walking fishing tour of Sydney Harbour.
You sure will, mate. It's been a pleasure. Cheers, Scotty.
Land-based fishing at its best. Right on our doorstep with Alec Bellissimo.
I fished everywhere, man. I fished everywhere, man, up beaches, boats and piers, man. I'm in up to my ears, man, with hand lines, rods or spears, man. I fished everywhere. I caught pinkies, kingies, dragon, whiting, black brim, blackfish when they're biting, flathead, flounder, pike and hake, blue pointers, tiger, sharks, that's flake, redfin, yellow belly, marigold, tarpon, brown trout, rainbows, even had a carp on.
Yeah, but what kind of bait?
Freshborn spivvies, crabs and kunji, beachworms, sandworms, sperma, spongy, whitebait, froggies, nippers, yabbies, ockies, squidgies, potties, crabbies, pilchards, mussels, cabbage, weed on, all the stuff fish love to feed on. I'll try any bait, mate, to get fish on a plate, mate. I fish it early light, mate, and sometimes through the night, mate. I catch and then release, mate. Yes, I've fished everywhere.
Yeah, but name is a couple of spots, mate.
Cape York, Cooktown, Collaroy, Naruma, Mossman, Maryborough, Western Port and Cooma, Noosa, Bribey, Cool, and Gatakulam, Harvey Bay, Byron Bay, Bowen and Maroolan, Brisbane, Gisborne, Bundaberg and Bunbury, Portland, Shark Bay, boy, I'm in a quandary. Darwin down to Perth, mate, on a boat where there's a berth, mate, on a four-wheel in the outback, I'm set to hit the road, Jack, on a rock ledge when the tide's slack, yes, I've fished everywhere.
Crikey, anywhere else?
Tweed to Servers, Ballina to Bundigo, to Darwin, the Reefs, Whitsunday, Gosford, Tarry, Wyndham, Warragamba, Burrinjuck, Tulibuck, Laurenton, Yamba, Frankston, Brighton, Air Tasmania, Esperance, Albany, guess I got a mania. I fished everywhere, man. I fished everywhere, man. Beaches, boats and piers, man. I'm in up to my ears, man. Whether handline, rods or spears, man. Yes, I fished everywhere. Fished here, there, everywhere. I fished everywhere. Gotta see your license, mate.
This is The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
Don't forget too, you can catch a podcast of The Big Fish at your leisure, the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got some fishy photos for our Facebook or the blog, send them in to thebigfish@your.abc.net.au. Our email address, thebigfish@your.abc.net.au.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.